Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the newly expanded version of What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wondered what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope, download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store, follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we will continue our series on the book of John, and I am really excited about what God is getting ready to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322, or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. It is always my distinct honor and privilege to welcome my co-host, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri, from God's Kingdom in Hand Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia, to the show this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing very well, very well. Excited about what God is doing. Tell us about your church.
Yes, sir. We are meeting at Hall Street, 3076 Hall Street Road, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. We get to sit at the feet of the Master and break the bread of life. That is the word of life, brother.
Amen. Well, I know that's an excellent, excellent meal because I know who the chef is. Glory be to God. I know who the chef is and I know who the server is. So
hallelujah.
That's definitely a good meal. In fact, people ought to come and give you a tip. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, praise brother, we are I'm sorry?
I was saying praise God, brother.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes, sir. Well, we are making progress here through the book of John. I think our newly expanded version of this show, going from 30 minutes to an hour, has been a significant blessing, at least for me anyway. Yeah. And so we are starting a new chapter today, chapter 16 in the book of John. And so will you give us a prayer this morning, and then I'll start reading in verse 1.
Yes, sir. Father, we thank you. Once again, we are in your presence, Lord. We've come to share the word of life. Father, we thank you for each and every listener who will tune in, Lord God, even those that will listen thereafter online, Father, that you touch their hearts, Lord God. As this word goes forth, Lord, you said you sent your word and healed your people, Father. We thank you even for the light, illumination that you're bringing into this word, Lord, the excitement, the expectation, oh, Father. We want to thank you that the Holy Spirit will continue, Lord God, to reveal the truth that is your word, Father. And we give you praise and glory, Lord God, as we continue right now in John chapter 16. Continue to reveal your truth, Lord God. Release healing to our healers, oh Father. In Jesus' mighty name we say, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. Well, thank you for that. We are certainly blessed by the words that come from your mouth, because you speak nothing but the truth.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Just want to give a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Ski. We have moved into a new building up at 112 England Street, Suite B in Ashland, Virginia, and that's the home of Breakout Ministries International. And last week we had our second Sunday service. It was absolutely awesome. And the Thursday before that, we had our first midweek service, which was a very intimate setting, if you will. We had some word. I got to deliver the word on Thursday on the effectual fervor of prayer of a righteous man availeth you much. And that was fun. And I think some people got blessed because of it. And then we got to pray for our prayer list of folks who have needs in the church. And it was absolutely wonderful. So that services are on Sunday morning at 10:30. So if you want a double dose of the Holy Ghost, come up to Ashland at 112 England Street, Suite B on Sunday at 10:30, and then go to Hull Street in the afternoon at 3 to hear from Pastor Godfrey Kasiri. Glory be to God. So
glory.
That's absolutely the way to really make your Sunday something special. All right, as I said earlier, we are going to move on into the book of John, verse 16, and I'm excited about this thing. This John, I'll tell you one thing, I'm getting ready to pastor to teach this at Bible college here coming up in, I think, the first of the year. And so all the stuff that you have presented, I will be using that material. So I just want you to know I'm a thief, and I'm going to steal it from you.
Brother, that's all right. That's a good way to go, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So glory be to God. All right, chapter 16, verse 1, he says, this is Jesus. He says, I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering service to the Lord, to God. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me, but I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you may remember I told them to you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. Now, there certainly is a significant parallel with this statement and what's going on in the world today. Unless you have your head stuck in the sand, or you don't read the news or look at the television or anything like that, then you can see these things going on right now. In fact, they're happening everywhere. You know, they're happening in Syria. They're happening in Egypt. They're shooting planes out of the air. They're cutting Christians' heads off. And folks, this is coming to our house. It's coming to America. And there's already pockets of this here, and it goes into something that I thought was, I felt led this morning by the Spirit of the Lord to post something on Facebook about, or actually it was yesterday, about tolerance. And so I want to read that if I can find it. I want to talk about that just for a minute and how, Pastor, go ahead and give us your take on this scripture. And then I'll
brother,
find this post.
Brother, I'm in with you on that, because as I was reading also this portion, it dawned on me that, you know, the scriptures are so right. I mean, you can't have it any other way when you look at what is happening right now. And I believe the word of God is always fresh. When Jesus spoke these words, I believe the disciples may not have experienced it much then as thereafter. And because as we'll be getting in John chapter 17, Jesus in that prayer, not only did he pray for the disciples, but he also prayed for us who will believe on his name after hearing the word. And by saying that, what I want to come to is an argument to what you say, is when you watch the news, when you read the newspapers, I mean, when you hear what is going on around the world, Christians being beheaded, you look at what's happening in Syria, like you said, in Egypt, and other parts of the world where Christians are beheaded, and you see that this scripture comes to pass in our times, in that this persecution is going on, and to me that proves that the word of God is real, the word of God is true, and the people behind this are being used by the enemy, because you can't think you can behead another person as if you're beheading an animal. So that shows that there is an enemy that is behind these faces or these people that is using them. He knows that the word is truth, the word is life, the word is real. So by stopping Christians of beheading them, they think that you're going to stop the word. But I remember what Paul said, that the word of God cannot be chained, brother. And here we are. It's going on around the world, brother.
Amen. In this post that I wrote on Facebook, and you're certainly welcome to go out there and look at it, I do something called Ministry Nuggets, and it's really for pastors and leaders and those who are interested in really getting in depth into the Word. And this it was yesterday at 7:44 p.m. I posted tolerance is one of the latest buzzwords out there being used by a lot of people. The problem with tolerance is it normally leads down a short one-way path to compromise. Once you compromise, the final destination is death and hell. Don't make this trip. This morning, I posted a follow-up, and it's a ministry nugget. It says, here's a follow-up to my tolerance post. In America, it's okay to worship false gods because of religious freedom. You better be willing to fight for your right to serve the one and only true and living God, because the people who serve these false gods are working hard to keep you from it. Remember, it is written. Find out what, in quotes, it is. And then below that, I attached a post from somebody else on these false prophets. And you got Joseph Smith, which is Mormonism, Charles Russell, which is Jehovah's Witnesses, Mary Baker Eddy, which is the Christian Science folks, Ellen White is the Seventh-day Adventist, the Papacy, which is the Roman Catholic Church, and Muhammad, which is Islam. Now, a pastor friend of mine wrote another comment as well, talking about this. Let's take this a step further. He says, look at the influence of Judaism and the Kabbalah is having on the church. Great delusion and lying wonders is the foundation of their teachings. The church is coming and practicing many of their teachings that stems from the Zohar. So I think that's a good comment, a good post. It's something that we definitely need to be aware of. You know, out there, what was it, in Oregon, I think it was, when they had that school shooting. And the guy comes in there, and he asks him point blank. He says, what's your religion? Are you a Christian, or are you a Muslim, or something else? And if they were something else other than what he wanted them to be, he shot them in the leg. But if they said Christian, he shot him in the head.
In the head, that's right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we see, you know, religious persecution has escalated, in my opinion, greater than it ever has been before, especially in the United States of America, which is supposed to be the home of the free, the land of the brave, and we're supposed to be tolerant of religious freedom. And again, I don't care who you worship. That doesn't make any difference to me. I'm going to continue to serve the one and only true and living God, and I'm going to tell you what He's all about, because that's my assignment. And if you don't like that, you want to come to my house and start trouble, then bring it on, because I got greater He that's in me than he that's in the world. And the Bible says, "No weapon formed against me can prosper." And it says, "Whatever the enemy plans for my destruction, God has already turned around for my benefit." Now I love you. I love you dearly because you're a creation of God. But I'm not gonna tolerate a whole bunch of foolishness and allow myself to be dissuaded in any way, shape, fashion, or form. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I've gone way too far into the Word now to turn around and come back.
I agree with you on that. Yes,
So anyway, and the thing here about this couple of passages of scripture here that really blesses my heart is he said, you know, they think, and this is what they say, they think that especially in Islam, if you are an infidel, then they need to cut your head off, and they think that that's going to give them a great reward in heaven. Well, I can tell you this, they're never going to see heaven. They're going to see hell, and it's going to be a not a nice place to be. But we have to understand. Now, the Bible says that, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilences and all that stuff. And this is just the beginning. You know, we haven't even gotten into it, the way it's really going to be.
Right.
It's going to get worse, but we've got to be prepared. And the only way that we can do that is to be willing to stand on the word of God. So, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, I said all of that to continue in verse 6 or 5. It says, but now I am going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asked me, where are you going? Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, about sin, righteousness, and judgment, and about sin because they do not believe in me, about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me, and about judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. Hallelujah. Now, it's interesting here that you know, that these guys, they really did love Jesus. They really did. They loved him. They loved him as a man, but I'm not so sure that they really understood who he was as the Son of the one and only true and living God. And
right.
So they're, and instead of having their hearts filled with joy, you know, they were filled with, dude, I got to go. If I don't go, the other guy ain't coming, you know? And so this was really a source of consternation, if you will, for them, and it should have been a time of joy, but because they were there, they had witnessed this, they really didn't understand, they didn't see it in the perspective of like we can today because of the Bible. We're able to look and see the whole counsel of God. We can see the big picture, but they were living it, man. They were living it right in that time.
Right.
So, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'm now coming from where the Lord started us with this chapter 16, where it says, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." And, of course, we looked at the persecution that will go on. But thank God when you come to verse 6, where it says, sorrow has filled your heart. But then you come down verse 7 where it says, it's expedient, it's good that I go away. If I don't go away, the comforter. And this is where I want to bring in this word, that the Holy Spirit has come to comfort us because of the persecution that will go on as we present the truth. And of course, we know now what's going on around the world, including that example you gave us. I mean, this young man comes into the classroom and is asking, are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, blank, you're going to be shot in the head. I mean, if you're otherwise, then shot in the leg. But anyway, here is the Holy Spirit coming in to be our comforter. When all this is going on, the comforter is already with us, and that we should not be sorrowful. In fact, we should take it as a delight, is where the scripture says, well, count it as a joy when you face all this persecution. Now, that to me speaks volumes, brother, in that it's very important for us as Christians to cultivate that relationship with the comforter. You know, Amplified Version uses different titles, advocate, intercessor, counselor, standby, strengthener. And in fact, you realize as we go down, brother, that he's referred to as he. This is a person, not it. And with a person, you have to cultivate that relationship by spending more time with Him, listening to Him, and down as you go to the scriptures, He serves us as our guide. You know, when you think about the guide knows all the ins and outs as He leads you because He's been there. He knows the place. He knows everything. He knows all the details that you'll encounter along the way. So you put your whole trust in Him. And that's the word that, brother, I want to present. Trust. We got to trust that the Holy Spirit knows it all, and He will reveal it to us.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that verse is verse 7 in the mm-hmm. Amplified Bible, where it says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper," and again, that list of terms that you use, comforter, advocate, mm-hmm. intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. Mm-hmm. And they make another comment here, which I think is so appropriate and validates and verifies exactly what you said. He said, "I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship."
Wow.
In close fellowship with you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior and about righteousness. And I got to turn my page. And about judgment. So the thing about the Holy Spirit and what is so beautiful, I was talking about this the other night at church in the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. You know, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's there to lead us and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. But I like to take that a little bit further, a little bit in detail more, and talk about this close relationship with you.
Yes.
Now, you and I have a close relationship because
right.
we've spent time together. We've traveled the world together. We do this radio show each week. We spend time breaking bread together. I've been to your house.
Right.
You've been to mine. Well, I haven't been to your new one yet, but that's going to happen shortly.
Right.
I'm outside your front door knocking on the door right now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. Put your pants on, John. You got company. but we have a close relationship, you know, and we counsel each other and we talk to each other and we pray for each other. We ask questions of each other. We look for each other's different perspective and what have you. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do for us. That it's not because he doesn't want to, it's because you're not allowing him to. You have to cultivate and work on that relationship. And what I was telling him at church the other night was that then you can start reading that word like this, that the Holy Spirit is our comforter who leads and guides us into all truth and shows us how to do things we can't do.
that's true, brother.
Because I can't tell you how many things that I've been involved in where I look at this thing and I'm going, wow, how in the world am I going to solve that problem? And every time, without fail, when I say, you know, Holy Ghost, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? How do we solve this? Suddenly, there's an idea that pops into my head or some thought comes across, and it's the answer. It's cool. And he's like that all the time. Now, there are times when he'll say, no, I don't think you ought to do that. Well, we need to learn how to hear that voice as well. Because if he's in close relationship with you, then you have to develop that trust that you know that he's telling you something not to do because it's for your own good. But this was the beauty. I mean, the problem, if there is ever have been a problem, which I suppose there's not, with Jesus's ministry is that he was bound by the physical realm. I mean, he was limited to the ability of him to travel by how far he could walk, and you know, then those people were here, but he couldn't travel around the world like we can today, and he could. But, I mean, all the other people there couldn't get into this relationship with the Holy Spirit until after he's gone. And so that's what he's trying to tell him. He says, look, fellas, you know, I got to go. If I don't go, then you are going to be at a significant deficiency. And then when these things start happening, because, you know, the devil, and I want to ask you about this too, the devil is never proactive. He's always reactive. He always,
that's true.
He always sees something that God has done and then wants to go mess with it. I suppose is why he wrote that scripture, you know, the devil comes immediately to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we have to be aware of that, that when God does something in our lives, then you better be ready for the devil because he's coming. Now, the Holy Ghost will show you that, you know, he'll tell you. There's a guy coming up to your house right now that wants to try to chop your head off. No, I don't think that's going to be an issue. But anyway, we need to learn to listen to that. You got anything else you want to add to that before I move on?
Yes, brother. I speaking about the Holy Spirit, there's a scripture that came to me, which is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2. There is a part I want us to dwell on where it says that after that he threw, let me read it. It says, until that day in which he, that is Jesus, was taken up after he threw the Holy Spirit. Now, what does he say there? After that he. Now, who is that he? Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The point I wanted to build on there was after that he, after that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is after resurrection. Of course, we note here in chapter 16, he was speaking to the disciples before the cross, before death, before resurrection. And in Acts chapter 1, we realize that after resurrection, Jesus is speaking through the Holy Spirit. And the encouragement I want to give to our listeners is to cultivate, like you've been saying, the fellowship, that close fellowship, as you read it for us in Amplified Version. He, the Holy Spirit, desires in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, all the time, to maintain that close fellowship. And not only, like you said, in church or in fellowship or in reading the Word, or fellowship one with another, but also in day-to-day life, in our businesses, in our home. I mean, whatever you're doing, he's willing to come and guide you through it.
Amen. He certainly has a whole lot more resources than we do.
I believe so, brother.
Amen. So what do we have to do to develop that relationship?
But I believe it starts, like you said, in the Word, because we, as we're opening up the book of John, we realize John chapter 1, the very first verses, they are similar to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, we saw even where darkness was, the Spirit of God hovered around, and the Word was spoken, let there be. Who is that Word? Jesus. And if from the last scripture that we read of in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, until that day that he, Jesus, now he spoke through the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if you have the Word, you study the Word, you meditate on the Word, you begin to develop, to cultivate that relationship, that fellowship, that would lead to hear that still small voice, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I believe, brother, as we take time in the Word and in fellowship with the Word, we will begin to cultivate that relationship of with the Holy Spirit, of hearing what he's guiding us to.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I agree with you 100%, my friend. All right, let's start on, we're going to start on verse 12 here. He says, let's see what it says here. It says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine, and this is why I told you He takes from what is mine and will declare it unto you. Hallelujah. So we see there that the Holy Spirit has unlimited access, unlimited access to things of God, and they're there for us. We can take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Anything else you want to add to that?
Yes. I'm reminded again of this scripture. Remember when we read in John chapter 6, where Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, the word is spirit and life." And here we're seeing in chapter 13, where you read, it says, "Howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And again, we saw that Jesus said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth." And again, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. The word itself is truth, and the word is spirit, and it's life. So the moment we get into the word, brother, I believe that's where the Holy Spirit also comes in to guide us to know more about Jesus. And of course, we've known that the word is Jesus himself. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is always seeking where the word is taken in totality, not part, but in totality, because when he comes, he reveals to us all truth, not some truth, all truth, brother.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, there's a word that keeps popping up here. He says in verse, 12, he says, "I have many things to tell you." So there's things to tell you. Then he goes down, he says, "The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak." So we have to have ears, just like Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 to 13, we have to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
That's right.
He goes down in the next part of that, and he says he will speak whatever he hears. So, you know, he's got ears, and we got ears, and we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Declare. There's that word again, declare. And everything the Father has is mine is why what he takes from what is mine and will declare it unto you. So it's important for us to develop from the standpoint of listening to what the Spirit has to say. Well, the thing about hearing is you can't have your mouth running if you're going to hear.
No. You got to listen.
You got to listen. And I think that's something that a lot of Christians have diarrhea of the mouth. You know, they want to always be running their mouth, but they don't take time to sit down and listen. And when you do that, when you listen, then you're going to start to develop that intimacy with him. You're going to start having that close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it can do nothing but benefit you, because that's what he says. He said, "I'm doing this to benefit you. It's going to be advantageous. It's going to be prosperous for you, for me to leave, and it will be more beneficial if I'm not here, because then I can send one who will be here with you, each and every one of you, all the time." Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. All right, we are making good time here today, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Verse 16 says, "A little while and you will no longer see me." Again, "a little while and you will see." Amen. "A little while and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while and you will see me." Hallelujah. "Therefore, some of his disciples said to one another," well, what is this he tells us? "A little while and you will not see me." Let me turn the page here. And then he says, "Again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father," they said, "What is this he is saying?" "A little while. We don't know what he's talking about."
Right.
Oh, them poor guys are so confused. Hallelujah. Amen. But their heart was in the right place. Verse 18 says, they said, what is this he is saying? A little while, we don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to question him, so he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. I assure you. Now this is important, because when Jesus says, I assure you, you can be assured that you're assured.
Praise God. Yeah.
You know, that is good as gold right there. He says, I assure you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has a pain because the time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy. Turn the page again here. Because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrows now, but I will see you again. Your hearts and will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day, you will not ask me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise
that's
God.
That's a powerful word right there. That's a powerful word.
Yes, it is.
Give us your take on that.
I'm seeing right from verse 17, the word that kept on coming to the disciples was a little while. And they wanted to know, what is that a little while mean? And we see that he explains from verse 21, in order to explain it so clearly to them, he's bringing in the picture of a woman when a woman or a mother is bearing a child in the womb. The time comes whereby there's going to be that pain, that anguish, the birth pain. But once the child is born, then the mother completely forgets about the pain and the sorrow that she went through. And I believe in that, Jesus was explaining to the disciples that a little while, because they could not understand the little while. And then here is a picture that comes to me. You remember where it says that he is the firstborn among the dead, right?
Right.
And so I'm picturing here, should it be, this is the question that I want to bring to our listeners, should it be that Jesus was painting a picture of that a little while, in that there will be pain, but after that pain, picture the mother who has been carrying this life for 9 months and time comes to give birth, but before the birthing there is that pain. Should it be that he's talking about our being born again, or born a second time, and in that he was referring to the disciples here, that you are going to be born again? Because sometimes there's been a question that I've had, some Christians have been having one school of thought, saying, well, the disciples were born again because they were walking with Jesus. Then another school of thought says, well, they were not born again, when you look at the reference of that a little while, and Jesus painting a picture of a woman or a mother when the mother is pregnant and then experiences the pain as the child is coming forth. Now, could it be the disciples were not born again that time, or they were born again? That's a thought that I want to leave to our listeners.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. I don't think they were born again. They weren't saved because Jesus hadn't died.
Exactly.
Now, they were,
I agree with you.
Yeah, they were anointed and appointed as messengers of God, but In the reality of redemption, they could not have been saved until after Jesus was crucified. So your analogy would fall into place, because then they would experience the extreme pain of all of the events that led up to that new birth.
Right.
And so, I think that's a reasonable interpretation or revelation of that word. And many of us in our lives will go through multiple births.
Right.
There will be times in our lives where we're getting ready to birth something in the spirit, and you will go through those labor pains. You will have trouble. You will experience that. But I think that's one of the reasons why he says count it all joy. You know, when you fall into diverse temptations, when you go through that pain and that agony and that suffering, you have to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And acknowledging Him through the Holy Spirit will not only help that process along, but it will also. And I'm not going to say that it's going to make it easier, because it's tough. Let's be real. I mean, we want to be real on this show. You know, it's tough to go through some of the stuff that you got to go through.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It's a pain. But you know, when you look at the other end of it, on the back side of it, which is the way God looks at it, you know, He already sees you healed. He already sees you set free. He already sees you delivered. He already sees you ministering, doing whatever it is you're supposed to do. And it's up to us to get there. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen.
All right, so then in verse 25, he says, I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I am not telling you, hallelujah, that I will... I missed a word there. Yeah, I am not telling you that I will make requests to the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Hallelujah. So the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Ah, the disciples said, now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. But this we believe, that you came from God. Jesus responded to them saying, do you now believe?
Hallelujah.
Finally they get it, right? Finally they get it. And he says, look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have sufferings in the world. Be courageous, I have conquered the world. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, that's the end of chapter 16. So he's telling us right there that we don't have to worry about anything. Everything's going to be fine. We are going to have troubles. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have trials. But we fear not the world, for he's overcome the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So what would you like to add to that, sir?
I like, if you look at the Amplified Bible, if we may, that last part, I believe it's verse 33, then I'll begin on it. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. I want to emphasize that. It says, I've told you these things so that in me. So that means if we are in Christ, in me. And I know the Bible says that in him, through him. Now, that means if we are to have perfect peace, we have to be in Christ. Now, and the picture that I want to paint is this. It's like we would look at a military man in this. Do they call it armored vehicle, where you know, when they're in war and they're fighting, and that vehicle is so well guarded that if you try to shoot a bullet onto the sides of that vehicle, it's bulletproof. So that, I want us to go with that picture as we are crossing over to chapter 17, that Jesus says, in me you'll have perfect peace. In the we are in him. He is surrounding us. No matter what happens on the outside, we are so still. Another picture I can paint it like when it's raining heavily and you are in your house. The water is falling down, but no single drop is falling onto your skin. Why? Because you're in the house. And I believe that's what Jesus is speaking to us. In him, where it says, in me, you'll have perfect peace. Then it says, in the world, you have tribulation. And with that, we know in Acts, where it says, it's through tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. And here it says, distress and suffering, but be courageous, confident, undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. And this is what it amplified adds on. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. It's not short victory. It's abiding victory. Another picture I want to paint here as a crossover to chapter 17 is, when you look at two teams that have been, we're talking about sports now. Let's get an illustration of the sport. When one team wins, brother, there is a shout, there is a screaming, hands are raised up, there is a yay, yay going on. And Jesus is saying, this victory is abiding. It's not a short victory, because in sports, we find that this year, one team, let's say Virginia team, took the cup. Then next year, New York team is going to take the cup. But Jesus is saying, this victory is abiding victory. But in order to have all this happening to us, we have to stay in Christ in order to have that perfect peace, brother.
Amen. I agree 100%, because he says, I have overcome the world and my conquest is accomplished. Mm-hmm. My victory abiding. And that word abiding, you know, is talking about, it's a residential term. It's talking about living with, being around, being in. And that's absolutely just amazing to see what he has promised us. But I like the thing that he says here. He says, have joy. We in Christendom, if you will, call that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, the only reason or the only way that you can have that kind of joy is to have the glory, because the glory of God is the presence of God. So when you're in the presence of God, which means you're in close relationship, abiding with the Holy Spirit, then you have no choice. Well, you do have a choice, but, you know, it would seem to me that you would want to make the choice to live in that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, because the alternatives are not very good.
That's true. Mm, that's
true. Amen. Amen. Well, this has been an interesting chapter here in verse 16 or chapter 16, and I think that when we look back at it in the scheme of everything, we start to see a pattern. See, God is a God of cycles. He does things in processes, and as he goes through his processes, there are different stages.
Right.
And so I think we see this here as the process, number one, of how to have a relationship with God. Number two, the importance of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. We see now very vividly why Jesus had to go, because we understand that he was again sort of governed by his physical presence. Once he got back to heaven, then there was a whole lot more he could do. Hallelujah. And then I think that the other thing that we can glean from this chapter is the fact that obedience is essential. We have to really, really change our mind and desire to fellowship with the Lord, and then we'll see some remarkable things coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, we have a caller on the line here. I think this is my lovely bride. Let me see if this is Linda. Linda, is that you? Are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to make a comment about our lesson today?
You did a good job. I'd like to hear more of Godfrey on this one, too.
All right, what is your question for Pastor Godfrey?
No, I enjoyed it.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay.
Any questions or comments other than that?
No.
Okay. Well, praise God. She's a woman of few words, but boy, when she speaks, it is important, and you need to listen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. But, you know, brother, there is something I noted in our lesson today, chapter 16. You know, I've never taken time to look at verse 8 up to 11. You know, the three areas that the Holy Spirit works on. Number one, it says, when he is come, the Holy Spirit, how he will reprove the world of sin. Then number two, convict us of righteousness. And do you know that the moment we'll create the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there will be a conviction of his righteousness. Of course, Paul talks about it, that I may not be found standing on my own righteousness. And of course, we know Isaiah says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. I mean, when you would consider the filthy rags, I mean, you can't even think about it. And so I believe the third point that I noted here is judgment. What judgment is he talking about? The prince of this world is already judged. I think the more we cultivate the relationship with the Holy Spirit, those three are going to come into place. Number one, of sin, because the world does not believe on him. And I believe we should be the written episodes or the written word that when people look at us, they get convicted because they've not believed in him. And, of course, the last part that we looked at is the joy. And this joy that we are talking about is not the joy that the world gives, and the peace is not the peace that the world gives. So when the world will look at us, they'll say, how are they able to have joy amidst persecution? And so the more we'll create the relationship with the Holy Spirit, I believe verses 8 of chapter 16 up to 11 are going to come into full play. Sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Hmm. So you're saying that once we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, those three things will happen?
Exactly, yes. Because I believe, number one, this is when they'll realize, why haven't we believed on him? Because he said sin, because they have not believed on me. On who? On Jesus. Then verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So I believe we'll be convicted of righteousness. And the reason why I bring this is that you find that we know it in Romans chapter 8, where it says there is therefore no condemnation. And John says that if our hearts condemn us, no. But why is it that as children of God, we usually face the condemnation? Because we have not cultivated or been taught how to cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because when we cultivate that relationship, that middle area is going to be dealt with. He will convict us of righteousness, knowing how the right standing with the Father. And of course, we saw, as we're about to close chapter 16, where he was saying, I'm not saying that I'm going to pray for you, but you pray to the Father in my name. An Amplified Bible puts it well, in my name, as my representative, as we come to ask anything of the Father, in the name of Jesus, we are, as if Christ himself was standing there, we are representing Christ, and that is being convicted of righteousness, brother. Then of judgment, the enemy will know that he will always stay defeated because Jesus Christ has deprived him of his power. He can't judge us no more because he is already judged.
Mm. So let me see if I can't I don't know, paraphrase or say this a little bit different way. Than what, I just want to make sure that I get this. So you're saying that when you develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, you're going to be rid of your sin. You're gonna begin to realize what sin looks like to the Father, okay? Mm-hmm. And then it follows the next piece of that is you're gonna then see the benefits and necessity for maintaining the righteousness you already are. Now, you didn't have anything to do with the righteousness because, you know, our righteousness is as a filthy rags, as you said.
Correct.
But he made his son who knew no sin to be sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
And so we have been made righteous by the redeeming power of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross at Calvary.
Right.
But there has to be, again, this is a process where we're in, not from a condemning standpoint, but we begin to really start seeing the ugliness of the things that we do. Amen?
Amen.
And so our mind, you know, by reading and meditating and studying on the Word becomes renewed, so therefore we see the absolute necessity that we don't have to sin. And once we do that, then we walk into that righteousness that we've already been given as a free gift. And
right.
then we come to the final part of this, which is interesting. We recognize that the Satan has already been judged.
Yes.
You know, I was listening to my wife this morning, which I do quite regularly, and I love it. She said the fact that there's a lot of people that she was reading out of a book. What's the name of that book? Oh, gone it. Screwtapes by I forget. But anyway, she was reading that. She was talking about the fact that a lot of two misconceptions about evil or about the devil and about demons is, number one, is not believing that they exist, and then number two, giving them too much attention.
Right.
So if we go through this process, this is so amazing how all of this comes together like this. If we go through this process of recognizing our own sin and realizing that there's no benefit in it for us, then we're able to walk in that righteousness, not being, you know, proud or boastful or nothing like that, because we realize that we had nothing to do with its acquisition, okay? Then we can look at the devil in a whole different way, and because the Bible says when we get to heaven and we look at what he really was, we're going to ask the question, is that all? Is that all it was? You know, all that trouble that I had? But again, we found out last week in John chapter 15 that all of our troubles are not necessarily, don't come from the devil. They come from our own lust and our own desires when we're enticed.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to the point where that's not an issue. We recognize who the devil is. We understand his attacks.
Yeah.
And then we can walk in that joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we will not be concerned when those things come up. Amen.
Amen. And the last verse I can leave with our listeners is John chapter 14, verse 30, where it says, "Hereinafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." That is the last part I want to leave with our listeners. He has nothing in me. That's what Jesus said. So the moment we are convicted of this righteousness, we know that we are not standing in our own righteousness. It's not the do's and the don'ts, but what Christ has done. Brother, that will bring a declaration that he has no part in us.
Wow. Amen. That's just... Folks, and then you really do start living heaven on earth.
Hallelujah, brother. And that's the prayer. Remember, I said we have to pray. His kingdom come. His will be done where? Not in heaven, brother, but on earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we want to thank you for joining us today and encourage you to join us next week, next Tuesday. Same time, same place, and we'll continue in John chapter 17. Today is a remarkable day. We got a whole chapter done, and that's amazing, but that's not the point. But please join us, and until next week, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.